Well, I must thank you, Treasurer, for bringing up the footballer. The football in my 5 years of hosting these, I've wanted to ask you about it, but thinking that it's a bit cliched from someone from Melbourne to ask you about AFL. I can tell you that as an avid listener to sports radio and watching TV, there's a lot of positive sentiment around the country, around Tassie having an AFL team. And also, I just wanted to leverage that to talk about positive sentiment in general. And you spoke about Scottsdale, and we've spoken about Mona in the past, and perhaps a Tassie AFL team as important markers of sentiment and important things for Tasmanians and Australians to look proudly upon, and the importance that that has on the local economy. Perhaps you can offer some insights on that.
Certainly. It's, look, I think there is no doubt that, you know, Tasmania has changed, you know, and some people like it, some people don't like it, but I think in the main it's been positive change. And when you look back, you know, there is no doubt, and you've mentioned Mona, Michael, I think, you know, that has been a significant social game changer. Whether you support them, whether you love them or hate them, I must admit, when Mona turn up every year and say, guess what we're going to be doing for Dark Mofo next year, the Premier and I both, you know, think, goodness Christ, what's next? But what they've done is they put Tasmania on the national stage, and they do so without fear. And I think that as a young person growing up in the state, somebody who spent the vast majority of his life outside of the state, I think for my kids that are, you know, in their teens at the moment, that their view of Tasmania is going to be much more positive than what mine was 30 to 40 years ago. And so I think the opportunity for Tasmanians now is one that is has never been better. You know, I think it's now the time that for Tasmania to be bold. I think it's now the time for Tasmania to stand up on issues where, you know, we should be a part of the national discourse, where we should be a part of, you know, the national game, as I've been pointing out, and actually demand that we're actually treated with the respect that we deserve, and that is as a state of the Federation.
Thanks, Treasurer. We'll open up the floor to questions shortly. So same deal as earlier, my colleague Zoe is at the back of the room. If you want to ask a question, raise your hand and Zoe will be with you shortly with a microphone so that you can ask that question of the Treasurer. Just one more question from me. You mentioned that, I guess, the impacts of slowdowns in Victoria and New South Wales and some of the lessons that you must heed from that. In addition to that, some of the lead indicator around housing pricing in Melbourne and Sydney. Perhaps you could talk a little bit more about that responsible budgeting side of things leading into your budget shortly.
Look, very happy to. And it's I think most people in the room understand the circumstances that befell Western Australia. They had significant revenue growth. They had significant demand for services. It was quite clear to the rest of the country that, and certainly to the rest of the treasurers around the country at that time, based on the public commentary that was going on, that, you know, WA would see a reduction in its GST, and that's exactly what occurred. You could almost plan for it. In fact, Treasury forecast it. And so it goes without saying that, as a state, we've got to be cognizant of the fact that we're almost, to some degree, in terms of GST, we'll be a victim of our own success. The better you do, the less that you get. But we know that in terms of those big jurisdictions, they will have a significant impact on the pool moving forward. They will take more money out because their own source revenues are falling. And so we need to be cognizant of that. We need to ensure that we frame our budgets moving forward sensibly and responsibly. Now, that will be difficult. You know, as politicians, you know, we like to spend. Our community needs investment at the moment. But we're going to have to prioritise and be very, very careful about the decisions that we make in the coming budget to ensure that we don't put ourselves into the position that WA has, or the Northern Territory, because that, at the end of the day, just means that we have more problems later on.
Treasurer, you showed the increase in CapEx and the need to resource it from a skills perspective. What would you like to see going forward from perhaps some of the members in this room around upskilling their workforces, and indeed from the education sector as well. What do you think is required for the state?
Well, I think in terms of existing workforces, obviously we want to see and work with the employers and with our institutions like TAS-TAFE, with UTAS, and both institutions I think are responding to the market opportunity and challenge that there is there. We're going to have to feel comfortable with more people from interstate coming to Tasmania. It's interesting. The Department of State Growth ran a U in a Year campaign last year. I'm not sure if I spoke about this last year, Cedar, where there was a typical Tasmanian who's the bloke that is on the bread ads, that he's 6'4", good looking, and he is talking about your life in a year on a series of video commercials that are being run on the web. And we targeted Sydney initially based on market research. It was pointed out to us that the people in Sydney are most are those that most dislike where they actually live, which was an interesting statistic. More than 500,000 people have now looked at those infomercials. We're seeing great interest in Tasmania, and of the migration pattern that we've seen in the last 12 months, I was really heartened that we saw a significant increase in the 20 to 35 year age group, and in fact 75% of those coming to the state are now under the age of 55 years of age, which is good in terms of the opportunity to refresh and build our workforce. But we will be competing against the national market. Across the country, across up the eastern seaboard, is a significant infrastructure spend, as has been pointed out in the previous presentation. And there will be very stiff competition for the skills that we will need here to drive our economy, and we're going to have to work very hard to ensure that the package that we put forward is one that not only talks about the benefits and conditions of employment, but also the opportunity of the lifestyle that we can provide here. And so we need to be very smart in that space.
Okay, if I can open it up to the floor. There's a question just at the centre, Zoe. Thank you.
Treasurer Tim Gardner, can I take you to the back to the important topic of sport and football? My involvement's with the more traditional form of round ball football, and in our club, I'd hazard a guess that a lot of the kids that are actually coming out of AFL have, a lot of them have gone into soccer, football. Our club's actively building links with Chinese clubs, Japanese clubs, Malaysian clubs, kids doing exchanges internationally, going to tournaments, and we're in a regional economy, and it's a very important link, and sports diplomacy and sports connection is so critical to us. And I see with our kids how they connect themselves to Asia through that, and their identity about Tasmania on an international stage. And I know that you made the comment about rail, and let's not look at the solutions for the last 5 years, let's look forward. Well, I'd say the same thing about sport and about football and the importance of that and our future and our connection of the next generation to the world. And I just wonder what the government's view is around A-League licence here and the support for that and our place in that national competition where we build that connection to the world.
Well, Tim, that's a very good question. And I think that, certainly the government did a significant amount of work in respect of the A-League, or supporting the A-League licence bid that that went forward recently. And I think that in terms of soccer, I think it goes without saying that that has seen strong growth in terms of its base. And I think from a football point of view, there's a lot to be learned from the way that that soccer has gone about what it's doing. In fact, interesting enough, basketball is also growing at a relatively strong rate compared to football. And so understanding some of the reasons why the base is collapsing in the traditional game of AFL football is something that the board has to get its mind around very quickly and understand. But those links that you're describing, I think, are things that as a government we'd obviously be very encouraging of. But I think in terms of where we stand on the national stage for both the round ball, soccer, basketball, and AFL. As a state, we should be aspiring to the national competition. Absolutely. I hope you heard most of that, because it was annoying me.
Any other questions from the floor? Just towards the back there, Zoe.
Just to follow up that question, Peter, I'm president of Football Tasmania. And our sport on the latest survey, one in five Tasmanians play the world game or the round ball game or volunteer. And I don't begrudge at all Australian rules being given a help by the government. It really should be about young people participating in sport. The Matildas will be playing in the World Cup in a couple of months. We'll have another 2,000 or 3,000 young women wanting to play, and we haven't got enough infrastructure for them. In terms of the A-League bid, we've got the new president of FFA and the CEO coming down in a couple of weeks to discuss that, and we've got a meeting with the Premier. And it is a great opportunity for Tasmania to get back on the national stage. I think we've got a really good chance of an A-League club, and we've got a growing sport that's basically run out of grass time. So I think on your infrastructure list, we need to have some football infrastructure as well.
Well, Bob, that's a very good point. In fact, interestingly enough, I was only looking at one of the grants programs that was released last week. In fact, the Levelling the Playing Field, which is designed to, across sport, not just AFL, ensure that we provide female-friendly facilities, that we've got actually contemporary facilities that will suit both of the sexes in terms of the codes. And the beaut thing about the program, I think there was around $5 million that was provided across a range of sporting codes, was the co-investment that's occurred as a result of that program, to where I think it's now around $10 or $11 million worth of investment will occur over the next 12 months, with the next round of that program to come out shortly as well. So, I don't disagree with you. I think in terms of the opportunities for the state, and I think as a state, you know, we should be aspiring, whether it be the round ball, whether it be AFL. Yeah, we certainly had a strong fight in terms of cricket, and it surprises me it's taken this long to get to a point where we're actually having the conversation about, you know, how do we get on the national stage in terms of the sports codes that we play in the state, because that's, I think, where, from the point of view of our kids, to actually provide them with that aspirational opportunity to be able to play at the very top level is something that needs to be there as a magnet. Importantly, though, we've got to ensure that we can build the participation rates. And that's one of the learnings that we're seeing with football. We've had the highest level of Australian rules football played in the state now for 20 years. But the base is contracting. And, you know, that's, to me, that says that we haven't got it right.
Great. Do we have another question from the floor? We've got time for one more.
Hello, my name's Matt Daly. I'm from GHD. I just wanted to try and ask a question between this presentation by the Treasurer and the earlier one. Seeing the housing prices going backwards in Sydney and Melbourne, seeing the strong growth in, particularly in Hobart, prices and the difficulty, the tight rental market that we have down here, seeing the You and the Year campaign, which is been focused on bringing people, from say Sydney or Melbourne to attract them to move to Tasmania. There's maybe some risk now that dynamic changes somewhat if the housing market's cooling in those major capital cities on the mainland, and there's a perception that things are actually more expensive here or growing at a rate where they're becoming more expensive. So how do you contemplate that and guard against that good population growth that we've been experiencing evaporating?
Look, that's a very good question. I think the crux of it is in terms of even, say, in the Sydney market, I think their median house price went to about 1.1 million. I think it's around 900 now or thereabouts. I haven't seen the most recent numbers, but even at a median house price in New South or in Sydney of 900,000, That's still head and shoulders above where we are in the Hobart market, and certainly in the markets in the north of the state. You know, I think the median house price in, across the state was around $450. So we're still going to be very, very attractive. But I think the other thing, for a lot of people that have seen what's occurred in Sydney and Melbourne and the swings in the property market, there will be people that have that invested a handful of years ago that that have now just had the fright of their life in terms of the equity in their home and where it's landed, that may be looking at the opportunity to get out of the Sydney market and actually bring whatever capital they've got to a place like Tasmania, where we don't see such violent swings as what we've seen in those two larger markets. But I think the key thing for the housing market in Hobart, and again, this is a good issue for industry, you know, we just need more supply. And, you know, we're seeing in, certainly in terms of approvals, you know, we're hitting, you know, we're at world record levels in terms of approvals for dwellings. Our challenge will be that we're going to need more people to actually get them out of the ground. It's a little circular where we're at the moment, but the market's starting to sort itself out, and certainly we're seeing more opportunities coming on board in terms of accommodation. And I think we'll continue to be very attractive, which I think is the crux of your question, will still be very attractive as a destination compared to either Melbourne or Sydney.
Just an extension to that, Treasurer, just in terms of getting those skilled people to the state, what's the state doing actively to bring people here to get that construction boom going?
Well, obviously, I've touched on the U in a Year campaign, but the you know, jobs are now advertised nationally. You know, it's not a matter of local papers anymore. The internet is where we're seeing the vast majority of work and employment opportunities being advertised. I think the simple fact is in Tasmania that when there is work, there is the very, very, very strong correlation between population growth and the jobs vacancies that we see here. And, you know, I expect that we'll continue to see continued interest in Tasmania. You know, the Premier says it often enough, you know, Tasmania is one of the hottest places on the planet. And I think that for many on the mainland, they're coming on board with that as well. And so those that are visiting like what they see. If there's an opportunity here for them, you know, we've just got to make certain that through our government agencies, through our businesses, through our work with Chambers of Commerce, that, you know, the door is wide open and that it's easy to find those opportunities. And I think, you know, across the board, we're engaging pretty well in that space at the moment.
On that note, I'd like to thank all of the participants today. First of all, the audience for asking such insightful questions of the Treasurer and Michael Blythe. Of course, thank you to Michael for writing a chapter in our economic and political overview and being so committed to the CEDA stages right around the country. And finally, of course, thank you to the Treasurer, Peter Gutman. Thank you.